Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Jesus is speaking, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but instead on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven."
Our second reading this morning is from the book of Sirach in the Apocrypha. Now, the Bible is an interesting book historically. While there is almost complete agreement about what books are included in the New Testament, there is equally complete disagreement about what books should be included in the Old Testament. Roman Catholic and Orthodox traditions accept additional books into the Old Testament. But Protestants, including those of us in the United Church of Christ, call these books the Apocrypha and do not include them in the Bible per se. You can buy a Protestant Bible with the Apocrypha, but it is a separate section, and it's between the Old and the New Testaments. All of this dates back to the time of the Pharisees, who determined the original list of sacred writings to be included or not into their collection. And today's reading is from the book of Sirach in the Apocrypha, which is part of our own Protestant three-year lectionary cycle of Bible passages to study. Hear now this ancient scripture of wisdom. God created humanity at the beginning, and he left them to the power of their choices. If you choose to, you will keep the commandments and keep faith out of goodwill. He has put fire and water before you. You can stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Life and death are in front of human beings, and they will be granted whichever they please. Because the wisdom of the Lord is great. He's mighty in authority. He sees everything. His eyes are upon those who fear him, and he knows every human action. He doesn't command anyone to be ungodly. He doesn't give anyone a license to sin. Here ends the reading. That great, internationally known theologian, Dr. Seuss, once said, "How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December's here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get so late so soon?" Sure seems like that, doesn't it? It's March now, and just last week was Christmas, I'm sure. Well, actually, it's true. In the past 50 years, a steady stream of human innovations has begun to drastically speed up processes that have always been the realm of nature. In fact, our emerging technology has created ways of accelerating change that used to be gradual and slow. For example, genetic engineering. What that means is that we've actually speeded up the natural process of the evolution of our own species. Think about it. We've developed new habitats, like our air-conditioned homes. We've created new foods. And don't get me started on how medical technology has changed our lives. After all, I'm standing here on two titanium hips and a knee made out of God knows what. In the process, we've changed our own biology and transformed our future as a species. Genetics Nobel laureate François Jacob says humans are a 200,000-year-old species. 200,000 years. Scientists have also discovered that when we first emerged, our lifespan was 20 years. By the turn of the 20th century, it had become 44 years, which means that we had advanced by only 24 years over the course of 200,000 years. But in the short span from the turn of the 20th century to today, only 114 years later, human life expectancy is 80 years. Simple technologic improvements in medicine, safety, and science have doubled our longevity in little over a century. And it's not how long we live that's changed rapidly alone. It's how we look has undergone changes. You've probably been to a museum and seen uniforms and dresses that indicate the people back then were really small. Well, in 1850, the average American male stood 5'7" and weighed 146 pounds. Today, by 1980, those numbers had jumped to 5'10" and 174 pounds. And it's not just Americans. A team of economists have expanded this inquiry internationally and discovered that the trends are global. And part of what's significant about this historically, only a tremendous geological shift, like a meteorite impact or an ice age, would speed up the process of evolution. But now all that's changed. University of Chicago economist Robert Fogel says, we're talking about an incredible synergy between technology and biology, and about very simple improvements. Pasteurization, a general reduction of pollutants, and biology, and about very simple actions, cleaning up our water supply, all of which have produced inheritable effects across populations faster than before. In other words, my friends, we've pushed evolution so that now it's moving at warp speed. Dr. Seuss was right. All of which brings us to the scripture from Sirach that we heard today. I bet you can hardly wait to see how that's going to connect with our species evolution. Let's see if this works for you. As I was saying, today's scripture is from a book written by a man whose name in Greek was Sirach. Unlike some of the figures in the scriptures, we know that Sirach was a real person who lived about 180 years before the birth of Christ. He was a Jerusalem-based scholar who ran a private school to educate young Jewish men. His students were from the priestly classes and the upper echelons of Jewish society. He was training his students how to maintain the leadership roles that they were expected to assume as they got older. He talks to them about how to handle money, how to make a speech, what are good manners at a dinner party, and how to be honest in business. But Sirach wanted his students to be more than simply successful among humans. He wanted them to be wise and honored by God. You see, kids in his time had pretty much decided not to live by the Hebrew religious laws. I'm sure they rolled their eyes and said to each other, "Boring." No, they wanted to be part of the secular Greek-influenced culture of the kingdoms that surrounded them. Anything familiar here? Sirach taught them that to be successful and respected can only be found by living in covenant with God. This passage from the curriculum of Sirach focuses on the concept of free will, that each of us has choices and we're free to choose good or bad, fire or water, open or closed, yes or no. Sirach does not believe in predestination, that everything is written somewhere and humans are helpless to change their destiny. Instead, he teaches that with free will comes responsibility. We ultimately reap the consequences of our own choices. Since God sees everything and knows our every action, God will ultimately hold us accountable. Well, okay. He's writing in ancient times for students long gone to dust. But what does he have to say for us here today? His writings ask us today, in the context of the speed in which our own times are changing and evolving, how do our individual choices matter? My friends, I think the impact of our choices on our lives, our planet, our very survival are clear. Scientists are telling us that our survival on the planet and the lives of our children and their children are deeply, fundamentally affected by our choices. And Sirach is telling us that our very immortal souls are impacted by our choices. Putting your empty coffee cup in the recycle bin in King Hall is a small thing. Yet it has huge consequences when we look at it through the eyes of the scientist and through the eyes of God. So why on earth did God give us free will and the chance to mess up everything with climate change and oil spills and human-caused forest fires? Why? Why? And what are we going to do about it? Roman Catholic theologian John Hout writes, "If God is love and not a compelling power, the world will be given leeway to experiment with an array of creative possibilities. A God that truly loves the world will not coerce it to change, but rather work with it through persuasive love." African-American scholar Joy Moore adds that we, like the students in Sirach's classes, are given free will in order for each of us to have the opportunity to grow, to learn, and to fulfill our potential every day. In the scripture that we heard Jay read from Matthew today, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He urges us to let our light shine before others, to reach for the potential that God has granted to us. The statutes of God are practices, not pronouncements, Moore says. She writes, "God is about repairing relationships, our relationship with each other, with the environment, and with God." Sirach says we each have the opportunity to live on earth as it is in heaven. We each have a chance to help usher in the realm of God. And if we are truly given the chance to make things better, then we must also be given the chance to blow it. If we're cocooned in a wrapping of everything good without the chance to experience bad, then we're really not going to grow and learn. We're just going to be small children with a favorite blankie clutched in our hands. Sirach tells us God wants more from us. God wants us to be fully aware, alive, and active. God wants us to be responsible, to be glad in our ability to make good choices and live as a faithful Christian. In short, God is a great parent, willing to stand back and let us make stupid mistakes and burn our fingers in order for us to learn. And so, it makes sense that we need to realize that we're also going to be making mistakes in the realm of science and technology. I imagine we can all think of some of those scientific mistakes already. How about the Concorde airplane? Or Dolly the cloned sheep? Or how about the idea that computers would get larger and larger and eventually you'd need a computer the size of a football field to govern your phone? Remember that? But on the positive side, how about penicillin? How about MRIs? How about windmill or solar power? We're doing good things together as humans. And meanwhile, time is going faster and faster. And I think Sir Rock would say, we're doing pretty good considering we're still seriously and simply humans. May our choices be acceptable in the sight of God this day. Amen.